There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Friday Eve edition of the show. And easy to get in touch. The number is good for a text and a phone call. And with 56 hours a week of live local shows, every day of the week, live shows, even in the evenings, on Saturdays, on Sundays, you may want to check in on those shows as well. Get in touch this way. Phone call or text at 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. You could also leave us a talkback message using the FM Talk 106.5 app. All right, coming up on today's show, it's a... A lot of chaos going on out there, right? There's bourbon prices are tanking out there. It's the worst ceasefire ever. I love the fact we've been in the ceasefire since April 8th. And we'll talk about another thing that doesn't seem very ceasefire-y to me. We'll get to that coming up in the show. Also, Mobile City Council may tighten the screws down on those scooters in downtown Mobile and out to the... They can make it, I think, to about Midtown before they... get geofenced out. That and a whole lot more chaos going on here. And then chaos right here in the state of Alabama. I would argue this is, okay, this is probably the most chaotic I've seen a cycle in maybe ever. And we'll bring on the very austere, maybe you've heard of this guy. He hosts a show called The Jeff Poor Show here on FM Talk 106.5, editor over at 1819news.com. It is the one and only Jeff Poor. Good to get you on these airwaves, man.
Yeah, man, you never could have enough Jeff Poor on the FM Talk 106.5 airwaves.
You know, Ben says here's a double Poor Thursday. So
there's probably some of your listeners are like, "Oh man, not that guy."
Yeah, but we you know what? I think they welcome it. It's like when we do this, it's like what was it? Different Strokes in the Facts of Life when they show up on each other's shows.
Yes, yeah, the crossover.
Yeah, yes, so it's a crossover thing. But I mean, this is I do this every once in a while when it warrants it for sure. And you've talked about it on your show, but if people didn't catch this, I kind of want to break down your thoughts of what's next after the primary. And was it a ghost primary? The decision from SCOTUS, what the special session did, you have the ghost primary. Now we have the 3-judge panel say, nah, not going to work on that map. And now we're looking at a primary in June and maybe August 11th, unless that date changes for this. It's now I can say it's confusing.
Well, my guess is regardless, and I fully anticipate, I wouldn't bet against it, that the Supreme Court is going to toss aside this injunction. But if they don't, for whatever reason, and we still have the August 11th primary, it's just that will be the primary, and it will be the old map. And because you already have the law, it's already been signed into law that we're doing this way. And I mean, like constitutionally, that's how we come to this conclusion that they leave a lot of this up. They delegate this authority up to the states to do. Mm-hmm. And the legislature has spoken, the governor has signed it into law. And I don't see how you could count the so-called ghost primary. I mean, maybe you could take it to court if you wanted to, but if you're, you know, if you're Rhett Marcus, you bowed out a week to go. You canceled all your media buys. You moved your campaign infrastructure to a more Montgomery-centric campaign, and you got ready for August 11th. To me, that's just, you know, that there's enough there, meaning that they just can't, they're not going to be able to count that.
Okay, I want to come back to it, but I mean, if people didn't hear, like in the story over at 1819 News, Governor Kay Ivey has delayed certification of the August 11th special congressional primary ballots in case the U.S. Supreme Court stays a recent federal court ruling requiring Alabama to use a court-drawn racially gerrymandered map. So there's enough of a chance, right, that we've delayed the certification of the primary ballots. I mean,
I think the governor and I think her legal team, I think these guys kind of know what's going to happen. They're kind of playing it, you know, like what's the most likely outcome here? And delaying that certification by 5 days, it's under state law, you have to do it. But by doing that, it leaves the window open and it mitigates some of the legal circumstances.
Okay. Now back to the thing I said we'd come back to, legally speaking. So let's say a scenario where they all of a sudden say, no, the district says they still are, unless we get the 2023 map. That primary was May 19th. That was real. That happened. And then we're going to have a runoff here in June for AL1. The ghost primary thing, and I come back to it, I'm going to use that as a term that encompasses a bunch of things, but that those questions around it, I think there's a lawsuit on that side, too, where somebody could say, I don't know, you'd have to get people with standing who would do it, but say, hey, I thought I was in there. I wrote Mickey Mouse in or something. I didn't think it was real, right? How can you hold that
right
to me? You infringed on my voting right because I went in there thinking it was one thing. It turns out it was something else.
And you know, but it would go to, I guess at first, you would challenge it in state court, as I said, because this is a state issue.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at how that would go, I think there's just a consistent pattern that ultimately the Alabama Supreme Court would side with the state and you know, what they've decided to do here, that the federal court, if you challenge in federal court that I wanted that May 19th primary in the 1, 2, 6, and 7 to count, I don't think stands.
Okay. So if that is true, and I agree with you, but I'm trying to play this out. If that is true, then therefore we will not see the map that was drawn before. I mean, that option seems like the latest one. That one is off. Okay, we have the opinion from the judges here that you can't do 2023. Although April Marie and y'all were talking about and had a similar conversation with Cameron Smith. He said, man, if you read through this decision, it's almost like y'all go just make a little bit of changes. Go kind of shuffle the paper and change the colors on the tabs on
right
this map and bring it back to us. And we'll, I mean, I know that's not the legalese, but that's the Sullivanese of like, y'all just go shuffle the papers here, come back and we'll say yes.
But no one really wants that. The defendants don't want that. The state of Alabama doesn't want that. That may be what they said, that since you've been doing this whole time, nothing really changes. But it did change, and it changed significantly, and I just don't see it as a path forward.
So the path forward is 2023 map. The injunction, SCOTUS on the rocket docket, gets back to us soon, I would hope, and says injunction lifted, y'all go ahead.
I believe that's what's going to happen. But if it doesn't, on August 11th, we'll just have a primary election with – for 1, 2, 6, and 7, with the old 5-2 map,
and it will be, and I guess it doesn't step on the. I'm thinking about it for like FCC rules. I guess that would be far enough out in front of the general. It doesn't get, yeah, because it's 60 days.
The special election, yeah. So you would have nominees for all of those races, just like you would if they had stuck with it on November 3rd.
Okay, so. The fact that the governor is just precaution here to delay the printing of the ballots or certification.
Yeah, I think so, because, you know, if you don't have an opponent, you're not on the ballot. But, well, I guess you'd be on the general election ballot. But this is a primary, and this is up to the parties. And Democrats have gone through the motions, and they have qualified candidates. They have qualified candidates in these congressional districts. And they will, I think they're anticipating, even Democrats are anticipating a primary election on August 11th.
Okay. We will watch this going forward. It is not, I don't think it's hyperbole to say this is probably the most dramatic primary election I've ever seen in Alabama.
Well, I was talking to a lawmaker about this, and, you know, what might happen here? What if this happens? Well, Shamari Figures is qualified to run in AL2, and then there was some, why would he do that? He's so much stronger in AL1, but think about this. If Rhett Marcus qualifies from, if he wins the nomination, and let's say he goes on to be the Republican nominee in AL2,
mm-hmm.
Shamari Figures is still the incumbent. He is still a sitting member of Congress. He is going to,
even if he, and he doesn't have to, not to go back to this like I do, but people are new to the show all the time. He doesn't have to geographically live in AL2.
No, but I believe that he now lives in Montgomery, that they have a residence in Montgomery.
Okay.
And,
okay.
Yes. And this is what I've been told. So now he's in Montgomery and he's there. And man, right now, Democrats are red hot. The enthusiasm is unlike what anything we've seen since probably 17, and then probably even before that, since 2008, with when Barack Obama, the first time he was on the ballot.
Oh, wait, I mean, you just look at Mobile. I mean, Mobile's not every county of the state, but Mobile's one of them where it definitely Democrats came out.
They came out, and they outvoted Republicans in a lot of places. Could you have a strong Montgomery Democrat candidate and a weak Wiregrass Republican candidate, low depressed turnout for Republicans on November 3rd, and a very well-funded, like I could tell people, all Shamari Figures has to do as a member of Congress is walk to his mailbox. He probably raises $1 million. And he's going to be in good shape. But let's say he somehow gets Joe Reed on board, and they get their ADC yellow ballots out, and they get their, you know, when they want to, they can win some races. You just got to pay the piper there. Let's say they get all that done. I mean, I look at AL2 now. It's the last time I went Democrat was 2008, and Barack Obama was on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what would it say? And this, it's just a long shot. Let's say Shamari Figures wins that election. What does it say to this three-judge panel that an African-American Democrat goes and wins AL2 despite the aspersion stake?
Even using the 2023 maps.
Yeah. Do you still have a leg to stand on with their argument that because there was a way to draw the 6-1 map and not go 2023 and keep that something like that from happening? You could have split up the city of Montgomery in three different ways and still come up with a 6-1 map. But the legislature didn't do that. But, you know, that's a district, like I said, it's gone Democrat in the last 20 years. It's been a while. And you had just a very, very big enthusiasm for Barack Obama that really got Montgomery out. And I think that could happen again because they showed that it could happen in this primary election. Then what does that say? I mean, they're operating, these guys on this three-judge panel are operating on these weird assumptions about the hearts and minds of people in the state to draw these maps.
You know, you mentioned, yeah, and I don't know what's in their mind, but it leaves me often scratching my head looking at those recent opinion from them. But you said 6-1. Is the 7-0 discussion tamped down for a more, what I called it this morning, even more special session to be called at a move towards a 7-0. Are those voices going quiet, or are they picking up?
They're still out there, and there's still a few people who want a 7-0 map. I think most, I just don't think it's realistic. And here's the one problem with the 6-1 map they've drawn. And I keep asking this question, I know that the Attorney General has talked about this or written about it in his briefs, but if that map in 2023 passed muster with all of these racial components, checked all the boxes to become the map that they were going to use, and now they're telling us, oh, well, it's a race-blind map, don't worry about that. Like, how could both things be true?
I've been asking the same thing. I don't know. I mean, it's the Chris Pringle said on the show before too, though, you got to go back and draw a map, and they don't tell you how to do it. They just tell you you're wrong, you know, and for them to tell you you're wrong do it again. Well, you're wrong. Well, both of these are the, you know, I don't know. I don't know how they can have one be a racially drawn map and one's not, but they're both are.
Yeah, and that's one thing that, you know, I don't think the Trump DOJ, I talked about this very early on. It's like, well, you know, could the Trump DOJ sue Alabama and say, hey, this is not what the president that was said in the Louisiana Colleges case says. This map was drawn. It passed all these, you know, checks and balances and these tests, and it had to meet a certain criteria. How could it have met all those criteria under this old framework and meet the new criteria under this framework?
And I don't, you know, I have not read through both full decisions, but the differences between the Calais and the Milligan decision, are they that, I mean, they don't exactly ask the same question, but they seem to be in the same zip code.
They do, and I mean, this the 14th Amendment argument and the VRA argument, and they're two different tracks, but I think what Alabama was trying to do back then was thread two needles, and then they had to go to court, and they had to defend it on two different, like, bases, and I don't know that was necessarily something that they were capable of, right? I think that, you know, I hate to say this, but I think Alabama's the victim of two things here. I think they're the victim of some bad lawyering from the AG's office, and I think they're the victim of just a three-judge panel that is partisan and has an axe to grind with the legislature.
Right, and I wonder if it's as simple, I don't know, that if there had been different attorneys this time presenting, if it wouldn't have just gone through. I know people don't want to think about it, but maybe it's just a personality conflict, right? Give us somebody fresh to make this argument this time.
Well, a new lawyer, but you're going to have new witnesses. You're going to have new evidence submitted. You're going to have a different legal strategy that you're no longer worried about this. You're not trying to meet the criteria of these two things. You just got to prove that you're doing one thing, that you're not trying to keep African Americans from voting, that you're not trying to suppress the vote, and that you're not, you know, that these are two different things that they were trying to argue in before the Supreme Court, and it just didn't work for them.
Okay, well, there it is. Until things change tomorrow, maybe, or the next day. Jeff, man, thanks for holding on for an extra 23 minutes with me. I thank you very much.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
All right, there he goes, Jeff Ford. We'll let him finally be done for the day. And you and I will run on from here with Midday Mobile, 251-343-0106. Coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:28 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Sorry, I distracted a second there. Have you seen that video? I think it's happened a while ago, but it's now gone viral or whatever. A one-armed woman gets pulled. So she's missing her right hand. She has the arm. But she's missing her right hand. A police officer pulls her over and says she was driving with her phone in her right hand. I think this is in Florida, so hands-free state or whatever. And officer comes up. So cops out there, listen to this one. Don't do that. He said, yeah, I saw you driving by me. And you were on your phone holding it in your right hand. And she lifts up in the video. It's the body cam for the officer. And she lifts up her right arm, and there's no hand there. So she's lost her hand. And she's actually kind of funny in it. She's not really getting ticked off. She just says that he keeps saying, well, you had it in your hand. She's like, look, I don't have a hand. I'll repost this on our Twitter feed, or X feed here, and you can check it out there at FM Talk 106.5. All right, Jason, I thought y'all were going to dive into the Museum Drive Hotel study today. No, we're not. I need to know more about it. I mean, there's, you know, I really am not super familiar with it, so. Let's see. Ultra Runner. The court emphatically claims its cartographer did not use race, but did ensure black voters would be victorious through an, quote, election performance analysis, end quote. That is ridiculous doublespeak. I think SCOTUS is about to come off the top rope. Yeah, and Chad said my favorite part was when she said, hand to God. Yeah, she's like, hand to God, and raised her arm that didn't have a hand. Yeah, I'll put the, you got to see this. It's a, you talk about, it's law enforcement, when you've lost, you lost. Let her go. She was not on her phone. She didn't have a hand there.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, so 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Thursday. This segment of the show brought to you by my buddy Jeff Stone at Stone Arms. And this is, if you've been dillying and dallying about getting your tax stamp so you can shoot suppressed, quit the dillying and the dallying. I don't know if one is different than the other. That, don't dilly-dally. Get out to Stone Arms and get everything done like I did two and a half years ago, and get your green light to get a suppressor, silencer, can, whatever you want to call it. And at Stone Arms, it's very easy to purchase the silencer you've been wanting. It's now not only easier, it's less expensive. After the big, beautiful bill removed the $200 fee for the tax stamp, so it's free. You still have to go through the application, but it's free. You don't pay the $200. And they've got a computer there at the kiosk on the in the store. It takes about 20 minutes to put your information in. Plus, it so you put all your info in, and it takes you to, like, do this, go to next. It's really easy. Then do your fingerprints, your passport-type photo, all that gets put together. What they call it, collated, put together, and sent out an email to the ATF. And then it was a big deal. It used to be like months, if not pushing a year in the old days, to get something back. And then it started picking up, better pacing. And it was 2 weeks when I sent mine off, and I was really fired up. It only took 2 weeks. Now, it's getting done in, like, well, 2 weeks or sooner, but they're having people getting their green light back from the feds in 48 hours. So if you've been dillying and dallying all that time and you're like, man, I really want to get a suppressor, which, by the way, huge selection of suppressors, silencers, firearms, accessories, all in stock at Stone Arms, but they've got that system there. So if you have been, if you're like me, that I went on for years saying, I'm going to do this, never got it done. Time to get it done and get it done quickly right now with Stone Arms. Now, they're on Airport just past Snow on the south side there, about a quarter mile past Snow. And they are online at stonearmsinc.com or Stone Arms Inc. on Facebook. But go check them out today or maybe over the weekend. All right, let me go to, you know what, before I do this, because I had enough response here about the one-armed woman, I just play the audio here. This is just law enforcement. Listen to this. Sometimes you know you've been beat. Please admit you've been beat on something. Let's go to this cut. So this is a one-armed woman. She gets pulled over. The officer says she was driving with the phone in her right hand. So hands-free. I don't know, you can't say that, but hands-free state, right? So the officer says, hey, you were driving. You had your hand. You're holding your phone in your right hand while you were driving. And well, she says this.
This is why you're being pulled over. In the city of Lake Worth today, we're doing an operation for distracted driver, and you drove past me holding the phone with your right hand, manipulating that phone. I mean, I saw you with the phone in your hand.
Obviously not.
Cause, okay, so you said in your right hand, and at that point, she picks up her arm that does not have a hand.
So you want to just call this a day?
Or? I don't want to call it a day. You had a hand up manipulating
the phone. You just said my right hand.
Well, I thought I saw you with your hand.
You so
had a
you
hand
didn't.
Up. The right hand. I saw you manipulating.
So you didn't.
With the right hand, perhaps not, right?
But I saw you. You didn't see me with my right hand.
She continues to bring her arm up that does not have a hand on it.
So are you
saying that you saw me with my right hand?
I know what I just said. I'm asking you now. Did you not have your phone on your hand?
I did not.
You did not have your phone on your hand?
I did not.
Hand to God, you did not have your phone on your hand.
Hand to God. She raises her right arm that doesn't have a hand.
The other hand to God, you don't have one hand.
And then he asks her to raise her other hand, her left, because there's a hand on her left arm. To God.
Cool. You have your driver's license, registration.
And he ends up, here's the rest of the story. He ends up making the case. He ends up, she goes to court on this thing. Now, because she early on says, hey, you just want to, you know, let's drop this here. Because she said you had the phone in your right hand. She wins that one. I think she wins that one. It's I think it ended up getting dismissed in court, but they took it the whole way to court. All right. Let's go to the text line here. Let's see. A named texter. I wouldn't vote for Shamari for dog catcher. Nothing but a wannabe Obama. Let's see. Ben said, it wasn't me. It was a two-handed woman. this texter said, the sad thing is the officer actually gave her a ticket and she has to go to court over it. Yeah, that's what I was talking about. That, and I think it ended up getting dismissed at court, but like, hey, at that point, officer, just go. I must have seen something else. You go, have a good day. This is it's amusing here. All right, and by the way, Kyle Hammer is going to join us with Lanyap coming up, and we will talk about this redistricting and all these questions. But at the same time, we're going to talk about the scooters in downtown Mobile. Saw a story, and I wish John had published this before he came on yesterday. But this story John has over at AL.com, and I think there's going to be this is a story I've been waiting for, and I didn't know I was waiting for because I didn't know it was going to happen. But, and hopefully we will get State Senator Andrew Jones on the show. Headline here is, Alabama Senator beat dark money ads, and he's now naming names. So we always have about the dark money ads. You'll hear them here, like when the political action committees buy the ads. Because there's two different types of political ads, right? It's like so-and-so, I'm so-and-so and I approve this message, or it's got their voice on it, the candidate's on it. That's a candidate ad. The other ones will be like, so-and-so is a horrible, you know, it's always like the minor key music in the background. They're a horrible person who doesn't like puppies or, you know, Christmas morning or whatever. They're always making, okay, so those ads, those attack ads. Okay, so here's a story about Andrew Jones. John writes this. It's over at AL.com. It says, in politics, the power of incumbency is often a decisive advantage. Name recognition, influential endorsements, media visibility, and fundraising networks typically give sitting lawmakers a strong edge. But in Alabama's recent Republican primaries, a combination of dark money mailers and voter turnout that dipped below or near 20% in some GOP-heavy counties proved fatal for several incumbents seeking re-election to the state house. A quote here, it says, a lone incumbent to survive an attack on what had been described as a misleading narrative on state immigration policy so far as Alabama State Senator Andrew Jones, Republican out of Center, Alabama. He defeated his challenger, Amy Minton, in the GOP primary for Senate District 10 in Northeast Alabama. Jones, best known statewide as a Republican senator who led the effort to cut Alabama's portion of the grocery tax, said the mailers blaming lawmakers for backing free education for undocumented immigrants can be traced back to ALFA, the Alabama Farmers Federation, and its political arm, Farm PAC. So this is... goes back to, he believes, the fight against the grocery tax. So, quote here from Senator said, we had to figure out where this was coming from through some reporting in the media and looking at to where the money was coming from and how it went from point A to point B and to point C. We quickly realized it was Farm PAC and ALFA behind these ads, end quote. ALFA has not responded to requests for comment on Jones's allegations ahead of the primary election. Its spokesperson said that ALFA's Farm PAC works in a variety of vendors and, quote, like-minded organizations, end quote, on campaign materials, but that it does not direct political messaging. After the May 19th contest, the organization issued a press release praising its performance in competitive races. Farm PAC endorsed candidates won 21 of 25 GOP primary matchups. Those endorsements included challengers who defeated well-known incumbents on Goat Hill, like right here at home, Representative Matt Simpson out of Daphne. In addition, Senator Greg Albritton out of Atmore, Representative Frances Hulk Jones out of Gulf Shores. She faces a Farm PAC backed challenger, Joe Freeman, in the runoff. So it goes through, talk about what this ad said against Jones. And I don't know Jones. Personally, I've heard him on before. I was supportive of the cut of the state portion of the grocery tax. And so we talked about him a good bit back then, but I don't think he's ever been on my show. Says here, Alpha President Jimmy Parnell said in a post-primary statement, if incumbents supported government overreach, more regulations, weakened private property rights, supported gambling, or imposed mandates that are driving up the cost of living, they were less likely to earn the support of Farm PAC or voters, as was evident in this election. Let me argue this, that cutting the grocery tax does not push up the cost of living. I mean, that's easy math, right? So Jones and defeated incumbents were all targeted by mailers from dark money groups such as Alabama Values PAC. They ran ads here, which accused them of supporting free college tuition for undocumented immigrants, a reference to a 2024 legislation that ultimately failed in the legislature. Legislative leaders, including House Speaker Nathaniel Ledbetter and states and Senator Garland Gudger, issued cease and desist letters or statements condemning the mailers as false and misleading. Matt Simpson said he is considering legal action. I know he had talked about that here on the station. Okay, so this is what's interesting. So Jones says he's going to name names here, names Alpha, right? And here he goes. He said there are three reasons he believes that the Farm PAC, Alpha's PAC, Farm PAC, targeted him through their dark money channels. Here's the things he said he did that he thinks this was the reason. Number one, a lottery vote stance. Jones supports a statewide vote on legalizing a lottery, which could force lawmakers to revisit a broader gambling package. Alpha opposes gambling measures, though Jones said his group had supported past lottery proposals when scholarship money was added into the legislation for agricultural interest. Number two, now this gets pretty specific, a rendering plant. Jones said he helped block a proposed Pilgrim's Pride animal rendering plant in Gadsden, so in his district, about 6 years ago, arguing that the location was unsuitable. He said he offered to help find an alternative site, so he wasn't saying no, he's just maybe not right there. But the project stalled. He believes Alpha was unhappy with his involvement in this. And third, Jones supported amendments to the health insurance plan Alpha backed last year, including a 1.3% premium tax he said every insurance company must pay. Without the tax, he said the bill would have been a sweetheart deal for Alpha. Jones said he was surprised by Alpha's deep involvement to defeat incumbent lawmakers, given the organization's long history in Alabama's conservative politics and agricultural issues. So it goes on the story for more of these races out there and some that are closer to us, and we can talk about those. But it was good for Jones, instead of just saying, like so many times you hear, well, it was a dark money interest. It was these, he names names. That takes a lot of stones to do that. And he did, and he calls out Alpha. So I'm open to all players in this debate to come on the air and tell me the other side's wrong, the other side's right. What's going on here? But this is pretty, I mean, he names names and says why they came after him. Why'd they come after Matt Simpson? Open question. Yeah, come right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:52, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. A good chance to talk to my buddy Blaine at Parrish Tractor in Bromersdale and find out about these package deals. You said the other day you had one. If somebody got an MX tractor, what was the deal?
Yeah, Sean, so on our MX series tractors, you buy a new one, whether it's cash or finance deal, it does not matter. You buy that tractor right now from us, we're going to throw in a free 42-inch Kubota Zero Turn to go along with that tractor. You can buy just the tractor or the tractor with the loader or a bunch of implements to go with it. And either way, cash or finance, you're still going to get that free zero turn.
Okay. I like that. And if somebody is thinking about that kind of package there, move on that. Does it go on forever? Or, I mean, like these things are limited time, right?
So it is limited quantities, just what we have in stock right now. So if you are in the market or thinking about it, definitely stop by, see us right here at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale, or give us a call and take advantage of it right now, because there is limited quantities. It's just for the ones we have in stock with the free mower. So, yeah, stop by and see us or give us a call and we'll get you hooked up.
Okay. Well, give us a phone number, give us a place to find you. And I always push on it, but I love y'all's website. Tell them about that too.
Yeah, so you can go online and check out all of our deals as well as our used inventory and our rental equipment at ParrishTracker.com. Or you can give us a call at 251-947-4171. And we're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturdays, 8 till noon.
Good stuff, Blaine. I appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, there goes Blaine at Parrish Tractor. Only thing we could do is get – the only thing I would add, with like my zero turn, if we could snorkel them right now to mow. I had like, what was it, Tuesday? Like maybe Tuesday I had a window. I mowed some, and then since then it's been – got a flooded rice field there. Not happening. All right. To the text line here. Squirrelverine. Good Lord, people. That woman who was pulled over is like every idiot who seems to just live to bicker with police and really anyone. Have you watched the video, Squirrelverine? She does not have a hand on her right arm. I don't think I need to go through some run through of my appreciation for law enforcement. But when you're wrong, you're wrong. I don't know how you, this is, you're very, it's interesting to me, Squirrelverine. I would, not even upset, would just like to know how you and I see the same thing. And you say, well, she's an idiot. The officer says, you had the phone in your right hand. You're driving with your left hand, had the phone in your right hand. She does not have a hand. What? It really, enlighten me on how we saw the same thing and we had 180. Just, it's completely different assessments of that. Now, T-Bone says the officer and the lady were both stumped. Listen, you can, Don. Hey, Sean, how was your, snapper season? What were we talking about? I did not go. Did not go snapper fishing and probably won't again this weekend. And then went on to say, I made a suggestion months ago. Maybe you could share your thoughts on why Governor Ivey temporarily eliminate the gasoline tax here in Alabama, perhaps soon to be Governor Tupperville. We'll hear this and can pressure Alabama's GOP to do so. I don't know, other states have done it. I don't know why it's Alabama, why we wouldn't have moved with that. Probably because they got to have that money. Here's my worry. And, President Trump had talked about eliminating the federal gasoline tax, too. And we could talk about the fact that so much of this needs to come in to build roadways, right, and repair roadways we drive on. The other part of it, this is my thought. The danger in this is if, because I always talk about beachheads established by the federal government. Once they do something, there's no coming back from it. There's no coming back from it. People get used to a thing. If they moved for the federal gas tax to take it out, or Alabama, you know how hard it would be for them to bring it back on? Now, you'll say that's a good thing. I can hear you. But from their perspective, if they... the president talked about removing the federal or temporarily suspending the federal gas tax. First of all, probably if you studied it, doing it and changing the formulations on the machines and all that stuff would have probably cost, maybe it cost more money than it would save. I don't know that. But number two, once we the people got a taste of that action, we wouldn't ever want to go back to it. Then I don't know what that means for road funding. So Pete said, Jones led the betrayal of veterans. He's a self-serving, smarmy scoundrel. I love the word scoundrel. And Pete, that is another angle. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. Admiral Kent Davis is going to join us on the show. And he and I were talking the other day, looking through incumbents that lost, right? And how many of those were people who had signed on with SB 67, right, to change the structure of the Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs? And was it the 400,000 veterans in our state, not all of them, but a portion of them that showed up to vote those people out in the primary? I think, Pete, there's an angle on this, and we're going to talk about that starting at noon tomorrow on this show. That's the Good question. And we can't know why everybody voted and didn't vote, but it's a whole other discussion there. You have the attack ads that Jones is talking about, and it went after other people, but a lot of these incumbents, a lot, some of these incumbents that were defeated were people that signed on with SB 67. So yeah, that, get ready, Pete. You're going to enjoy that conversation, I think, with the Admiral coming up tomorrow. Michael says, also, the police sounded like the Aaliyah guys the sheriff had to rein in. Yeah. Like, it's scroll free, and I'm interested. I'm not even coming, this is not even trying to be adversarial here. I want to understand how you and I watched that same video, and you come off that she was in the wrong. Kyle Hammer joins us next.